Right around the corner on the all-new DOB-102, I'll talk eating healthy, autism and schizophrenia, and I've got tips on circumcision. All that and more awaits you on a brand new Daddy on Board. Greetings, parents, new, old, expectant, and hesitant, and welcome to the program. I am your host, Mike Quackenbush. I am a parent, podcaster, and professional wrestler. I'm the father of a three-year-old son, a podcaster here at the Grizzly Productions Network, and a wrestler with the organization Chikara, and of course, your host for Daddy on Board 102. The DOB is brought to you this week by Drobo, makers of the world's most advanced array of backup storage solutions. Big, small, fast, portable, you'll find something for every task at Drobo.com. And by Cobra. They don't make a three-piece weather dominator device, but they do make all kinds of gadgets to make your life simpler, like the Cobra Eye Radar system that makes you a more alert driver, and the Cobra Tag two-way locator system so your valuables are never misplaced. Check them out at Cobra.com. All right, let's dive right into the news this week. I want to bring you a piece that was making the rounds. U.S. News and World Report and a number of other online outlets covered this particular piece relating to the age of a father and the risk for autism, schizophrenia, and others in children. This, of course, is based on a new report published in the journal Nature that came out just about a week ago, give or take. That says this: men who have kids later in life may pass on more new genetic mutations to their offspring, possibly raising their children's risk of disorders like autism and schizophrenia. These new mutations arise in the sperm cells of men near the time of conception instead of being passed down through generations. They've been associated with rare cases of non-hereditary autism. Now, the research here was led by a team in Iceland, because I guess ever since Bjork stopped doing stuff, there's nothing else to do in Iceland. They searched the genomes of 78 families for new mutations as they appeared and looked at how the number of these mutations in children related to the age of their parents. In most of these families, the children had either non-hereditary autism or schizophrenia. And this recently published study shows that for every year a man ages, he's predicted to pass on more than two additional new mutations. More than 97% of these new mutations in children were explained by having an older dad. Sadly, none of these result in you getting optic blasts, telekinesis, or the ability to fly. Quote, "The father is an incredibly important contributor to mutations, and even if de novo mutations happen randomly, the more mutations you have, the more likely you'll have one in a gene that matters," end quote, said the author of this study, Dr. Stephenson, who's the CEO of Decode Genetics, which is a genome analysis company in Reykjavik. That's in Iceland. Previous research has linked higher rates of spontaneous mutations to older dads based on the sequence of select regions of the genome. This study is the very first to make the connection based on data from the entire genome of parents and their children. So important information for you to know there as well. I wanted to share this piece with you, which was carried over on the New York Times. It's actually not in their parenting section, but in their dining and wine section. And the piece itself is just fine. I'll tell you a little bit about it. The piece was entitled "Drop the Pasta, Dad, and No One Gets Hurt." This is by author Matt Richtel, who sort of lamented his weight gain now that he is a regular attendee at family dinners. He went back looking for some research about whether or not there's a trend here, and he found a decade-old study from Duke University, which declared a father's risk of obesity rises 4% with every child he has. A mother's, incidentally, rises 7%. Now, the research leader from Duke said that the rise in men's weight was surprising, whereas it was not so much for women who undergo obvious hormonal changes throughout a pregnancy and the childbirthing process, etc. But the study did not really reach any concrete conclusions about the reasons behind this. They speculated why fathers could gain weight. It might be that they have less time to exercise, for example. They keep more snacks around the house, or perhaps there's just overall less time to prepare healthy meals. And all of those seem very logical, right? None of that really surprises me. That seems like the kind of thing that you a conclusion you could jump to quite easily. Throughout this piece, though, as the author kind of talks about his own natural tendency when his kids don't finish dinner, he reaches over and cleans their plate for them, which is abhorrent.
in this, you know, he tries to, like, put it over as if, oh, you know, I don't want to waste any food or whatever, so I have to eat it all, and that's crap. We are Americans here. We all are. Everyone listening to this program, you know, like, as I've said, like, we're, if you think you're not, we're buying your country next week. That is our right. I think that's even in the Constitution to waste food. Like, that's what we do. We're Americans. Embrace that, Matt. You don't need to eat all of your kids' food. I hated that when my dad did that. I absolutely hated it. Don't turn into that. Don't turn into my dad at the dinner table. Or worse, my dad when you go out for ice cream. Don't turn into that guy. But as he discusses this trend of his, he references a dad blog of sorts that I want to tell you about, which is called dadcooksdinner.com. And an Ohio dad goes over the meals that he cooks for his family. And he cooks for children who, as he likes to put it, are obsessed with carbohydrates. They want carbs, and constantly. And so he is trying his very best to cook healthy meals that will still appeal to his kids. Generally speaking, there's just something about me. I have an aversion to cooking shows. I don't want to read about cooking. I want to eat the end product of cooking, which is food. I want to eat it like 3 times a day, like roughly in the morning, midday, and then in the evening. Those are like the times I like to have meals. This sort of thing never captures my attention, but I really liked what I saw at dadcooksdinner.com because everything this guy talks about is something I would eat, or at least it was on the front page. Like, I was stunned because I have a very picky palate. And I was genuinely surprised to see that Mike, the author of Dad Cooks Dinner, seemed to be cooking dinners that appealed to me. And from time to time, I enjoy the process of making meals. From time to time. And I thought, who knows? Maybe there will be call now for me to put some of this to use. So if you, if any of this sounds at all like you, right, you're the dad that cleans the kids' plates off, or you found that you've put on some weight since the arrival of your children, let me steer you to dadcooksdinner.com, where some what appear to be very tasty as well as healthy options are there. And you can also get bits of the story from Mike, the author, there about the way in which he was able to drive his weight down from his all-time high of 260 pounds. Great information awaits you over there, da bobbers. And now some news about toxicity. Yeah, I saw this over on Stroller Derby, one of my favorite parenting blogs to cull information from. Senator Charles Schumer has become quite irate about learning of the new report that was just published by the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice that was entitled Hidden Hazards, Toxic Chemicals Inside Children's Vinyl Back-to-School Supplies. And this was covered by a number of sources, everyone from Fox to you name it, jumped on board with this. I want to bring you this information specifically about a couple very popular back-to-school items. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the particular name of the toxin that they've identified in all of these. You just need to know that it's a toxin, I think. That means that it's toxic, and you don't want it. The trick is, the reason that these products are allowed into the marketplace is while there's really strict guidelines for toxins in children's toys, these back-to-school supplies are not classified as toys and therefore circumvent those guidelines that are put out there. This was really shocking, I thought. 75% of children's back-to-school supplies had toxic levels that would be in violation of federal bans for toys. They just aren't considered toys, as I said. For example, the Dora the Explorer backpack has levels over 69 times the allowable federal limit if it were considered a toy. The Amazing Spider-Man backpack that's popular right now, 52 times the allowable federal limit. The Disney Princess lunchbox that's out there, over 29 times the allowable federal limit for toxins. The Smart Fit Kids pink rain boot, over 20 times the allowable federal limit. And the Brown Polka Dot Hot Chocolate 1-inch hard binder has over 11 times the allowable federal limit if these were considered toys. Senator Schumer, who I guess needs something to talk about this election season, is calling for a complete ban of toxic chemicals in all school supplies. I don't really know how realistic or not that is. I don't know. I'm not up on my toxins. But I did think you'd want to know that information, because those are some of the most popular items right now for back to school. I also wanted to share this information that comes to us from the American Academy of Pediatrics. You recall them from a long-running arc on the X-Files, of course. They have, for the very first time, endorsed circumcision. And this sort of will hopefully, or perhaps they think it will, reverse a decades-long trend away from circumcision. Failing to circumcise newborn boys has become increasingly popular. In this piece that I read at thedailybeast.com, which really is a website, they say that the rates for circumcision really went into freefall in the late 80s due to a growing population of immigrant Hispanics that were really unlikely to circumcise their children. And this goes back to a CDC study of 2007. That's the Center for Disease Control, is the CDC. By the end of the last millennium, the frequency of this had dropped to just 63%, down quite a bit. However, the American Academy of Pediatrics now recognizes all these new health benefits behind circumcision. For example, much lower risk of men acquiring HIV if they're circumcised. They're less likely to acquire genital herpes, HPV, I'm not even sure what that is, syphilis, penile cancer, which sounds dreadful, and UTIs. In addition to reduced cervical cancer among their female sexual partners. In this respect, this report then affirms many national and international scientific studies, including one in 2005 by French and South African researchers that found male circumcision cuts the risk of HIV infection by up to 60%, which is a big number. It's like a 6 and a 0. Quote, the medical benefits of circumcision are already abundantly clear, end quote, concurs Dr. Aaron Tobian, a senior author on the Johns Hopkins study that was recently published that changed the American Academy of Pediatrics' findings on circumcision and influenced them to change their stance. And, of course, what's important about that in like real-world terms is they then will recommend to giant insurance companies like Medicaid, et cetera, that they need to cover the procedure because in many states they do not. They do not. This, I thought, was probably the best counterpoint, or at least my favorite. Quote, this research has been conducted by circumcised men, it's been reviewed by circumcised men, and it completely ignores the functions of the foreskin, end quote. That comes from Dr. Ronald Goldman, who's the executive director of, get ready, the Circumcision Resource Center. He spoke exclusively to thedailybeast.com about his stance on that. He's the author of, if you're curious, he wrote the book Circumcision, The Hidden Trauma. He also wrote Questioning Circumcision, A Jewish Perspective. I'm really glad that circumcision takes up only the smallest minority of my free time. But thanks for weighing in on that stuff, Goldman. Mm-hmm. While my profession as a podcaster lends itself to a somewhat sedentary lifestyle, my preoccupation as parent and professional wrestler means that I am always on the go. That's why I know so much about great show sponsors Cobra Electronics, whose innovations are out there to make the lives of people who live on the go like you and I do that much easier. Every time I'm road tripping, I take their Cobra Eye radar system in the car with me. It makes me a safer and more alert driver. It delivers to me up-to-date driving hazard information. I also love the Cobra Tag system, a two-way locator that makes sure, thanks to my smartphone, that I never misplace my Cobra Tag protected item, like a laptop bag or my iPad carrying case, my briefcase, my keys, whatever the case might be. You can watch concise demo videos about all these great inventions of theirs and more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Also, be sure to check out the specials section of their website, which gets updated all the time with deep discounts on their best-selling items and sometimes even two-for-one offers, so you can give a gift when you pick something up for yourself. Go see them at Cobra.com. And now let us commence with the weird stories. You might recall a couple Dobbs ago, I spoke to you about some daycare employees from the state of Delaware who were egging children on. They were getting them to fight. And this was captured by cell phone video or something else brought to the police. The daycare center has been shut down. An investigation is ongoing. The three alleged responsible parties were arrested and then later bailed out. I don't have an update on that story for you at this moment, but I do have a story from the state of Washington, which is somewhat similar and equally alarming, I think. This relates to a middle school teacher who was complicit in, he actually joined in the bullying of her 13-year-old son, and he is still working as a teacher. Now, this actually took place over a year ago, but it only just recently came to light because of an entire school district investigation by ABC News. Cell phone videos taken by other students show Carla Kinney's son being dragged around a classroom in his middle school near Tacoma. There's about 15 minutes of this that goes on. Classmates stuff a sock into the boy's mouth, some right on his feet. The boy's face is covered with a pillow. At one point, the boy is covered with chairs while the other students use their hands and feet to hold the chairs down and pin him to the floor. Ms. Kinney told ABC News this, quote, "When I drop my kids off, I'm dropping them off as a parent handing my kids to a school that is going to take care of them," end quote. The teacher who's clearly visible going along with all of this is John Rossi. He's a math and physical education teacher. In a statement to the investigators, he wrote this, quote, "I can honestly say that at the time I did not believe that any of the children were at risk of harm during their interactions, nor did I view the incident as anything more than harmless childhood horseplay," end quote. According to the News Tribune, the newspaper there in Tacoma, Washington, Mr. Rossi smilingly joined in and at one point even mugged for the cell phone cameras. He pokes the boy in the stomach. He pretends to sit on him. He points his rear toward the boy's face and says, "I'm feeling kind of gassy." Then eventually he tells the students to go back to their desk because there's only a few minutes of class time remaining. As I pointed out, this incident lasted 15 minutes. This is part of only a 30-minute class that's intended for reading and math preparation. Now, this teacher is still on the job, even though he's been reassigned to another school in the school district, and he was able to keep his job by accepting a 10-day suspension. The Kinney family, as you can imagine, are calling for a criminal investigation. They are not satisfied with this 10-day suspension, and I'm not surprised in that by the least. Of course they are. Like, that's insane that a teacher took part in all of this. Absolutely insane. And kind of frightening as well, that this could go on in a middle school. A 13-year-old boy victimized by his classmates and his teacher. Terrific. Ah, yes. Good thing we're fat here in America. Here's another story for you, and I'm going to tell you this. If this makes me sound enlightened or stuck up, I'm all right with that. This story is weird. And when I read it and I looked at the photos with it, I felt weird. Because, there's not enough debate over breastfeeding in public or breastfeeding in the workplace. I have a story like that every other one of these podcasts that I make for you. Totally new for you. A transgender breastfeeding man is outraged that he cannot lead a La Leche League group because he's legally considered a man. I didn't even know what the La Leche group was, or the La Leche League was. They have different groups all around the country, which lend breastfeeding support to mothers, which is really underwhelming. Like, it sounded like it should be some dairy-themed Justice League offshoot, maybe led by Nort. Trevor McDonald, 27, from Winnipeg, Canada, was born a female, but he underwent a transition, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and became male at age 23. He also underwent a series of hormone treatments and chest contouring surgery. Now, Trevor did retain his female reproductive organs, and went on to say that, but to all appearances, and certainly in one of the photographs here, he does seem to be, you know, to look at this individual, you would say, hey, that's a guy. You know, like, the beard he's grown certainly leads me in that direction. However, he did give birth to this baby, and he breastfed this baby of his for 16 months. Despite this, he identifies himself as the baby's father, never as the mother. Now, Mr. McDonald is also gay. He wed his husband before becoming pregnant with their child. And before giving birth naturally, he found out about a breastfeeding method for women who've had mastectomies. This method uses a supplemental nursing system, or SNS, a thin tube that connects a bottle to the nipple area to either supplement one's own lactation or to simply create the bonding experience of nursing for those who cannot produce their own milk. Mr. McDonald's main goal, he says, is to provide his newborn with the kind of nutrients only breast milk can provide. And certainly we've all heard the upside of breastfeeding. There's nothing new. Not breaking any new ground by telling you about that, I'm sure. He's gone on to say that he found it very challenging to latch a baby on when you have next to zero protruding breast tissue, which I'm sure all the other wannabe breastfeeding transgenders out there can relate to that underwent this same chest contouring surgery as you did, Trevor. However, he was denied the ability to lead a group. They're very clear in the way that they state their case that the LLL, that's La Leche League. It's all about breastfeeding mothers, not breastfeeding fathers. And therefore, by their guidelines and regulations, a man cannot become a leader of one of their groups. Right. I do understand that. Quote, I have heard from a number of transgender men who badly want to breastfeed but didn't manage to do it, and I am convinced that there is a real need for this kind of resource, end quote, said Mr. McDonald. He's heard from a number of other transgender breastfeeding men that couldn't manage it. I find it really hard to believe that there is a huge demand for this out there, Trevor. I don't deny, there probably is some, because there's you, right? You prove it. There must be other people in that exact situation out there that probably need more, you know, information. They need a very specialized type of information. Well, Trevor, you have your own blog. It's called Milk Junkies, and I'm not making that up. If you need to get that information out there, I'm thinking milkjunkies.net, your own personal blog on this experience, is probably a great resource for these people. So all you wish to be breastfeeding transgenders out there that need this kind of information, I am telling you, go and read Trevor's blog. It's milkjunkies.net. I really doubt there'll be any updates on that story, ever. My 3-year-old son, Elliot, sometimes expresses very little interest in going to the potty. Sometimes he's content just to go right in his diaper. And I can understand that. There are a lot of days where I wish I had one of my own. I think I'll build back up to it in my senior years. There are other days when he's not especially interested in brushing his teeth before he goes to bed, and almost all the time he is disinterested in cleaning up his toys after he plays. And unfortunately for us, he rarely, if ever, listens. So we decided to give him a reason to. After taking enormous time and effort, my wife constructed a chart for my son, Elliot. On this chart, he can receive a star for doing things that he often dislikes doing. And all of a sudden, doing things like cleaning up his toys when he's done playing and listening to Mommy and Daddy are of paramount importance, because if he were to fail, he would not get, at the end of the day, a yellow Velcro star to stick on his chart. So this, at least for now, we're just getting rolling with it, not too deep into this, seems to motivate him. It gives him a reason to want to do some of these things, which certainly make life easier, because my son likes to jump from thing to thing to thing. He's going to play with his superheroes, he's going to play with his Legos, he's going to dump a box full of balls, he's going to go downstairs and play with his toy kitchen that he has that's full of plastic foods. He's all over the place. He's a whirlwind of activity. He has limitless energy that, once I figure out how to harness it, I will power myself for all eternity. But he does not like to clean up his toys when he's done. He just wants to go from activity to activity. And now at least we have a reason. And not that it's top of mind for him yet. I think that's going to be the real process of this, is making that top of mind for him. But at least now there's reason to remind him. Elliot, if you wish to acquire your Velcro yellow star for the day to put on your chart, you need to clean up your toys before you move on to the next thing that you're doing. And so far, the results, I think, have been somewhat positive. And so perhaps something like this, if your kid is motivated in that sort of way. And I certainly remember, I enjoyed getting stickers for things. I was a sticker collector as a kid, before I graduated to collecting other things like comic books and expensive collectibles and all manner of wrestling cassette tapes. And one day, I am going to hook up that VCR and watch them all again. But not today. I don't have time. So something like that might be of use to you, parents. If there are a couple things you can identify, or really, I guess it just base this on the size of the chart that you want to make. You could make an enormous chart. It could be from your ceiling to your floor, I guess. You could put a stepladder next to it. It may be an interesting way to motivate your kids and to do some things that they're typically disinterested in. At least so far, the results have been positive. And if suddenly they take a horrible turn for the negative, I'll warn you about it. I'll warn you about it. But so far, so good. We've got this nice, bright red chart that Elliot can't wait to stick his stars onto. And if you have any luck with something similar to that, or you even want to send me pictures of yours, I'd like to see your charts. Come on, send them in to me. Over on Twitter, I'm at TheDaddyOnBoard. I'm also on Facebook and on Google+. You can send it to me over there, and then I'll talk about it on the show. I'll look at it. I can't show it to you on the show. It's audio only now, you know. In a moment, I have your little victories. Imagine for a second that every song, every document, every file, every video, every photo, everything stored on your computer in the blink of an eye was gone. You'd get blue screen of doom, and then everything is lost. How would you even begin to start picking up the pieces? I think about everything that's on my computer, my entire digital life, everything from photos of my son to my entire music library is stored on my computer, and it could all be gone. Well, I don't have to worry about that, because I run a Drobo FS right next to my tower, a hard drive system that's designed to protect all of my digital files against drive failure. And there's an incredible new line of products from our friends over at Drobo.com designed to do exactly that. They've got portable solutions, they've got faster, larger solutions. It can handle any task you throw at it. You've got to find out more about the incredible innovations from our friends over at Drobo.com. If you know anyone that's ever been up against drive failure and has lost everything, you know what a disaster it can be. So prepare yourself now. Go see our friends and great show sponsors at Drobo.com. At the end of every podcast, I like to read your little victories, which are sent in to me either on Facebook, through Google+, or via Twitter, where I'm at TheDaddyOnBoard. You can send them to me there. Helps when you use the hashtag LittleVictories, or just at mention me. It's pretty easy to find those two, to be honest. This week I was written to by Jessica Forney, whose name I may or may not have pronounced correctly. She writes, "Teaching my daughter not to poop in the tub." And yes, this is most certainly a little victory. While it may not be the most celebrated victory, she writes, any parent who has had to clean a poopy tub and a poopy baby will understand that it is a great accomplishment. I would not argue with that logic, Jessica. Neither does Sandy Lamparello, who replied, "Even we non-parents can understand why that's a little victory." Truer words were never typed on our Facebook fan page, Sandy. Lisa Cordwell writes to me, glow-in-the-dark stars all over the ceiling make small kids who are afraid of the dark actually look forward to it. I know this to be true. I had them all over my ceiling, as well as a lava lamp and a neon-enrobed phone during my college years. I was never afraid of the dark again, Lisa. Jane Bartlett writes to me, playing, quote, going to the restaurant with small children lets them practice good restaurant behavior that even the crabbiest restaurateurs will appreciate. Once they've learned to use inside voice and not crawl around on the floor during the meal, take your practice to real restaurants frequently. But be prepared to pay and leave mid-meal if your child starts having a meltdown. Sage advice. Thank you, Jane Bartlett. Your name sounds like you should be a poet, Jane. So if from now on all your little victories could be sent to me in iambic pentameter, that would be greatly appreciated. Ruth Cook wrote to me, when my little son broke rules, I didn't punish him. Instead, I sat him down and explained to him why what he did was wrong, such as who it would hurt and many other negative outcomes of his actions. He hated it when I said, we need to talk. He really worked not to have to talk. Thanks for sending that in, Ruth. And last but not least, Elena, oh boy, Elena, I will spare your surname. Writes, not a dad, but the other day my daughter shared something with me from her dad that she cherished. One birthday, he sent her a very special birthday wish via voicemail on her cell phone. She refuses to erase it and plays it often for friends. Thank you for sending that in to me, Elena, and thanks to everyone that did. I couldn't help but notice. Now, I will admit, this is a little bit, I'm just guessing here, based on the names, but I think everyone who sent in their little victories and such this week were female. Dads, what's going on? Huh? You not know how to type? Send me your little victories. I will read them, along with a questionable pronunciation of your last name, on an upcoming podcast I'm likely to record in the next week. which will probably be titled Daddy on Board 103. In the meanwhile, I'm going to make some other podcasts like the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe with my pal Clayton Morris. I'll make The Trending Show with my pal Natalie Morris. And then I'll be back here in about a week to speak to you again. Adios, amigos.